Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a perennial issue that divides, if not dominates, American politics, and that is abortion, now returning to center stage with Paul Ryan on the Republican ticket. Best-selling author Frank Schaefer joins us. He is the son of Francis Schaefer, who began the anti-abortion movement in this country and was one of the founders of the religious right. We will discuss this latest round of abortion politics brought on by Paul Ryan, who opposes all forms of abortions, including those for victims of rape, as well as all forms of contraception. Then, as the proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran over Syria is not just being fought in the streets of Aleppo, but is raging over the airwaves across the Arab world, we will look into the media wars in the Middle East. An expert on the Arab media, Marwan Kredi, a professor at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania, joins us to discuss the double standard in coverage of the Arab Spring revolutions by Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya. Then finally, while Mitt Romney was in Ohio today accusing Obama of waging a war on coal, the president visited Iowa to tout wind energy. Dr. Harold Pryor, the founder and executive director of the Iowa Wind Energy Association, joins us to discuss a thriving and growing industry that employs 75,000 Americans and generates 50 gigawatts of power, an industry that Romney dismisses as imaginary and Ryan says is a fad. Joining us now is Frank Schaefer, who is the best-selling author of fiction and nonfiction. His parents, Francis and Edith Schaefer, were world-famous evangelical speakers and authors, and he previously worked with such figures as Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, and Focus on the Family's James Dobson. Frank Schaefer, however, felt increasingly alienated and experienced a crisis of faith that would ultimately lead to his departure from the evangelical movement. Frank Schaefer's novels include Portofino and Saving Grandma. And his non-fiction books include Crazy for God, Patience with God, Faith for People Who Don't Like Religion or Atheism. And his latest book is Sex, Mom, and God. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frank Schaefer.
Nice to be with you again, Ian.
And as I mentioned in the opening here, Frank, Paul Ryan is bringing back abortion politics into the 2012 race. It never, of course, goes away. The United States, I think, is the only country in the world where abortion not only divides but seems to dominate American politics. And do you think that, given that Romney chose Ryan, at least the assumption is on the part of the punditry, is that he chose Ryan to shore up the Tea Party and to get them motivated, do you think that there will be an equal and opposite reaction on the Democratic side, that the presence of Ryan on this ticket with somebody that is so radical in terms of his economic visions, but also in terms of his attitude towards women and women's rights, being as hard-line anti-abortion as you could possibly be, do you think that will also have a motivating factor on the Democratic side?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of factors here, Ian. You know, my background with the anti-abortion movement goes back to the early 1970s when I worked with Dr. C. Everett Koop, who became Ronald Reagan's Surgeon General, to make a film series called Whatever Happened to the Human Race with my father, Evangelist Francis Schaefer. And we basically got the evangelical wing of the pro-life movement rolling. One of the people we worked with then was a number of people we worked with then were the Roman Catholic bishops. One of the interesting things about Paul Ryan, just to get started here, is that his own bishops have denounced his lack of Roman Catholic consistency when it comes to his economic plan, which would be an Ayn Rand smash at the poor in favor of billionaires. So here we have a Republican ticket with probably the most brutal far-right economic policy coming from the same man who's got the most brutal anti-woman policy. So it's interesting for me to note that the seamless garment that some pro-lifers talk about, where you have to be anti-war, anti-capital punishment, anti-abortion, anti-contraceptive, also includes activity on behalf of the poor. Ryan is that particular type of Roman Catholic that chooses to be a good Catholic and faithful to the most radical Vatican position when it comes to denying women of not only their right to abortion, but to contraceptives. But when it comes to the social policy of the Roman Catholic Church, he's a straight in-your-face Ayn Rand libertarian to the extreme. So it's a nasty combination, because it's inconsistent with both Roman Catholic teaching on morality taken in its full spectrum. Whether you agree or not, it does have a logic to it when it's in its fullness. And it is, of course, horribly inconsistent with the views of most Americans, 52% of our population being women, give or take a couple hundredths of a point, who believe that it is their right to choose when they want to have children and choose methods of contraceptives. So we have an odd situation where the Republican Party are calling President Obama anti-religious because he wants Roman Catholic institutions to extend health coverage to women and provide contraceptives on one hand, and on the other hand, this is the same group of people who now have a vice presidential candidate that is so extreme on the abortion issue that, for instance, he backs the types of initiatives that lost 20% to 80% in two successive Colorado elections and were even defeated in Mississippi, stating that even a fertilized egg has to be counted as a full person, which would outlaw not just in vitro fertilization, but many forms of the pill. So we've got a real extremist on the ticket now, which clearly defines where the Republicans are coming from. And you say, will this hurt? Well, it will only not hurt if people believe the Fox News version of reality. But anybody who actually digs into Paul Ryan will find a person who is brutal toward women, no matter what smile or glad-handing package this comes with, and equally brutal toward the poor. And it's an odd combination. And I say again, in defense of the Roman Catholic Church, which I'm not a member of and not particularly favorable toward in many ways, this is not the pro-life ethic that the bishops hold forth, which may or may not be right. That's a different debate, but is certainly consistent when it comes to, for instance, saying that the rights of all human beings have to be guaranteed, including the unborn. Ryan is not of that school of thought. Ryan does not believe in the rights of all human beings. Women are second-class citizens in his world, as are the poor, and he holds up only one part of Roman Catholic teaching faithfully and has dismissed the rest of it on the basis of being an Ayn Rand disciple, not a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Well, it is a little hard to take. I mean, one can understand and sympathize with those that are against abortion, and I've never known anybody that's ever had an abortion that thought it was anything but a horrible experience. And it's easy to be sympathetic to the idea that to the pro-life idea. But if you combine that with a ban on contraception, which would seem to be the way to prevent and avoid abortions, it makes no sense logically to me.
Well, you know, Ryan is a real extremist, even in the anti-abortion movement. There are lots of people who call themselves pro-life, who believe in contraceptives, who believe in in vitro fertilization, who believe in abortion for women who choose that route after rape or incest. He is the most doctrinaire type of anti-abortion advocate. Look, he introduced a bill in Congress that would federalize the vaginal probe requirement that was basically laughed out of court in Virginia and prevented the governor of Virginia from being a serious consideration for Romney's ticket. Now he has somebody on the ticket who introduced this same idea in federal law. So we've got a guy who tried to federalize mandatory vaginal probes for women and examinations that they didn't necessarily want, that was tossed out of other states that were reckoned pretty conservative on this issue, and of course it didn't go anywhere. He's against contraceptives. He wants the Roman Catholic Church to have the right to deny women contraceptives who work for them as part of their health plans. He calls a fertilized egg a full person and has initiated legislation to recognize the personhood of a fertilized egg, which would deny women the use of the pill. You know, he is not even mainstream pro-life, as the term is normally understood. This guy's on the fringe of even that movement when it comes to his views. And I say again, because it bears repeating, except when it comes to the poor. Where it comes to the poor, he is like a caricature of an Ayn Rand clone, and would increase taxes on the middle class by $2,000 per family on the one hand, and on the other hand, attack programs for the poor that are the safety net that keep people from a miserable fate, defund Medicare through a voucher program, and attack Social Security, which he is against simply on the basis that any federal program to him is suspect. So, you know, I think as people get the measure of this guy, as the election goes on, from any truthful source, they're going to realize that this is a unique vice presidential candidate. I can't think of anybody in my lifetime that's been a serious candidate of either party who has been from such an extreme wing of that party. And I think he takes the cake on this.
Well, he also is in favor of the privatization of Social Security, which George W. Bush tried in his second term. And of course, had he succeeded and as the market crashed in 2008, there would be essentially no Social Security left. However, that's apparently Ryan still holds to that belief. Now, again, I'm speaking with Frank Schaefer, who's a best-selling author of fiction and nonfiction. His parents, Francis and Edith Schaefer, were world-famous evangelical speakers and authors, and he previously worked with such figures as Pat Robinson, Jerry Falwell, and Focus on the Family's James Dobson. He, however, felt increasingly alienated and experienced a crisis of faith that would ultimately lead to his departure from the evangelical movement. He's been an author of best-selling novels, and his latest is Sex, Mom, and God. So, given, people are starting to sort of digest and figure out who he is. I must say, Frank, I was watching CNN this morning, and I saw a debate on CNN with Donna Brazile, who ran Gore's campaign, ran it into the ground, arguably. She was there as a Democratic spokesman or spokesperson arguing against Ryan, and there was somebody else arguing for Ryan. And listening to this, and I thought, oh, my God, the Democrats are dead in the water if people like Donna Brazile are arguing for them, because she was absolutely passionless and pointless and boring. And then I saw Ryan live speaking in Colorado, and he really was good. There's no two ways about it. And he's been constantly reelected in a blue-collar, working-class district in Wisconsin. So he's perfect for the Republicans. He's the perfect guy to peel off the so-called Reagan Democrats, the Joe the Plumber types. And today, Romney was standing in front of a bunch of coal miners in Ohio with a phalanx of these big, burly, white, working-class guys with hard hats on, delivering a speech about how Obama is waging a war against coal. So I wouldn't discount the possibility that these guys can get elected.
They can get elected, and they might get elected. And Democrats and independents who care about the fate of the United States have got to energize this process from the other side. One of the problems is that in an age of television and image and sound bites and Twitter and the rest of it, you know, who's going to actually bother to see what anybody's record is? Instead, we look at the image, and Ryan has a good one. He's white, and we have a black president, so that's great, because it relieves everybody on the right who's got a tinge of racism in their heart of any dubious sense of, you know, well, those sort of the other strange people are in Washington. He's part of a team that is very slick and, of course, has incredibly deep pockets with people like the Koch brothers and others behind them, far deeper than the pockets on the Democratic side of the pack. But the fact remains that if one goes by the adage that actions speak louder than words, no matter how well-presented he is and humble and pleasant on stage and well-read and can quote things and come over as a good guy and a nice deer, you know, fellow deer hunter and guy who heads into the woods and all the rest of it, the fact is that if you look at what he's actually sponsored in Congress and his budget and his writings and his record of speeches from the past, there is no way to duck the fact that he is an extremist, and he is not the type of extremist that can be elected by an American public that's informed on his record in terms of the majority of Americans, including working class Americans. So yes, I think the potential for them to win is there because the Supreme Court has opened the door to top-down funding on a scale we've never seen from people like the Koch brothers, and we live in an age of television and image more than ever, and we have a black in the White House who is hated, not disliked, but hated viscerally by many, many people on the Republican side who are energized to the extreme, partly because of racism, partly because of the fact that Barack Obama is someone who represents to them this liberal agenda, which of course is laughable because he's a centrist, if anything. All of that combines to a very, very dangerous situation. On the other hand, if Ryan's anti-woman, war on women record when it comes to abortion, contraceptives, towing the Vatican line to the extreme that even the American nuns disagree with these days and got in trouble with the Vatican for being more ambivalent on these things, if any of that can be brought out, combined with the fact that he's, you know, we talk about his views on abortion, going back to what I wrote about in my book Sex, Mom, and God, which really traces the rise not just of the religious right, but the philosophy that actually formed people like Ryan, with my friend Jack Kemp and others who I knew personally and talk about in the book, and working with them to inculcate the anti-abortion view into the party as a litmus test. Ryan is cashing in on that, and he's basically been bred for this moment. So, you know, I would urge people to read Sex, Mom, and God if they understand how somebody like Ryan can emerge. In this case, I actually knew his mentor personally well, which was Jack Kemp. Congressman Kemp and I and Dr. Koop and my dad sat down in Jack Kemp's basement for three nights running, watching the film series we made, Whatever Happened to the Human Race, which basically launched the evangelical pro-life movement. Jack was Ryan's mentor. Ryan worked for him. Ryan was nurtured at Jack's bosom. We had a lot to do with Ryan's views on abortion through the Kemp family. And so Joanne Kemp, who's an old friend of our family and used to have my mom and dad stay in her home, was sitting there in the front row down there in Virginia and was recognized from the stage by Ryan. You know, I don't know Ryan personally, although I bet I did meet him as a young man when he was in Jack's office, because I was in and out of the office all the time, but I don't remember. However, it's interesting to me, as I said at the beginning of this show, that what I talk about in Sex, Mom, and God, which is this preoccupation with other people's sexuality on the part of the religious right, is the only part of the Roman Catholic teaching which has actually transferred into Ryan's agenda. The rest of it, when it comes to compassion for the poor, serving others, following the example of Jesus Christ when it comes to the view of wealth as opposed to sharing, in those areas he's totally departed, and what he is a disciple of Ayn Rand, as my friend Jack Kemp was. And interestingly enough, I have a piece that I've written that I'm going to place in the next couple of days, talking about how my dad, actually, as an evangelical, helped change Jack Kemp's mind, at least on one point, and that was when Jack was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, he did not have this slash and burn anti-poor campaign that Romney and Ryan have launched based on Ayn Rand, because my father actually talked Jack out of it and told him that since he was an evangelical Christian, he had a duty to the poor. And Jack actually implemented some of that teaching. Apparently, Ryan has nobody like that in his life. His own bishops denounced his budget, and he didn't change it. All he did was, in 2012, distance himself from Ayn Rand by saying that he was a Roman Catholic and preferred Thomas Aquinas, you know, which is kind of an odd way to try to get out from having spent a whole lifetime quoting Ayn Rand as your central philosophy. That's where he comes from. So he is a very presentable, very good speaker, very kind, self-effacing, good with children, if you want to put it that way, nice with crowds. Fact of the matter is, he's the most radical anti-abortion candidate that either party's ever put on a ticket, and he's the most radical Ayn Randian that any party has ever put forward. This guy is straight out of central casting when it comes to screwy libertarianism on one side, off the wall anti-abortion activity on the other. And I say again, if people want to understand where he comes from, read my book, Sex, Mom, and God, because that is what this is all about, sex, mom, and God. And you'll notice, you know, that the sexual preoccupation he brings to his campaign of trying to stop women having even access to contraceptives is, you know, right out of what I'm trying to explain in the book that has two chapters on the rise of this movement.
Well, Frank Schaefer, I thank you so much for joining us here. We've just been speaking then with Frank Schaefer, who's a best-selling author of fiction and nonfiction. His parents, Francis and Edith Schaefer, were world-famous evangelical speakers and authors, and he previously worked with such figures as Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, and Focus on the Family's James Dobson. Frank Schaefer, however, felt increasingly alienated and experienced a crisis of faith that would ultimately lead to his departure from the evangelical movement. Frank Schaefer's novels include Portofino and Saving Grandma, and his nonfiction books include Crazy for God, Patience with God, Faith for People Who Don't Like Religion or Atheism, and his latest book is Sex, Mom, and God. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with a specialist on the Arab media about how they are covering the war in Syria.